B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gloved by Binnington. He puts it down and the horn sounds. The Boston Bruins roar in front of the St. Louis Blues with four goals in the third period. Rask was terrific. The penalty killer's magnificent. And the Boston Bruins have forced a Game 7 on Wednesday that'll take place at TD Garden to decide the Stanley Cup.
I'm sure you've heard this stuff by now, but you know the Bruins have never hosted a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final?
Isn't that unbelievable?
Unbelievable.
I mean, when I heard that, I went, what? Really?
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gloved by Binnington. He puts it down and the horn sounds. The Boston Bruins roar in front of the St. Louis Blues with four goals in the third period. Rask was terrific. The penalty killer's magnificent. And the Boston Bruins have forced a Game 7 on Wednesday that'll take place at TD Garden to decide the Stanley Cup.
I'm sure you've heard this stuff by now, but you know the Bruins have never hosted a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final?
Isn't that unbelievable?
Unbelievable.
I mean, when I heard that, I went, what? Really?
How's that possible?
I know, like, I you know.
Because, especially because I've been told my whole life that Bobby Orr goal meant something. It surprises everyone because everyone assumed that was overtime of Game 7, do or die.
Nope, it was a sweep.
Boy, that one was just teed up for
you. Oh, yeah, sure was.
And there hasn't been a Game 7 since 84, right, overall?
Hasn't been a Game 7 of any kind.
It's unbelievable.
For a championship. Since 1984, Celtics-Lakers.
35 years.
Jesus. That was the climb on my back, boys. That was Cedric Maxwell, right?
Max was 81, I think.
Was it 81 or 84?
84.
Was he?
I think it was 84.
Okay. Well,
I thought it was both, but the year of the climb on my back, didn't he win the MVP in 84?
So maybe you're right. I don't remember. I'm getting him backwards. In any case, Henderson stole the ball in 84, I remember. So maybe you're right. Yeah. Maybe you're right. But like... The reason why there's no Game 7s because we win everything in 5 or 6.
It's ridiculous. All these freaking championships, and there hasn't been a Game 7 do or die in, well, baseball, basketball, or hockey since 1984.
I mean, again, just another thing you can throw into this era, this golden age of, like, Boston sports. A Game 7 for the Stanley Cup. Never happened before in Bruins history.
And if you're the Celtics, don't you feel like the biggest tool bags?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't get out of the second round with the best team of all of them, probably.
Yeah. The Warriors are ripe for the pickings right now. And you're sitting at home because you couldn't get along.
You were worried about whose team it was.
Because I mean, it was the view behind the scenes.
Seriously, though, again, the title's there for the taking. Durant's going to play tonight, it sounds like, right?
Yeah. He's
I mean, like, you know, that... So they're desperate. Now they're down 3-1 in Toronto. It was there.
Well, as soon as the Bruins are done, win or lose, we'll get back to ripping the Celtics in due time.
Thank you.
And the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah, what? Don't forget them. They're about to ruin our summer.
And the Patriots playing paintball today.
Back to your phones. Dennis in Medford. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, guys, I just want to talk about the officiating. You know, it's been so bad. We've all watched them mess themselves this playoffs. But, you know, come to think of it, put them all in a room, and they probably would have said the Ortiz video wasn't from behind. That's what they probably agree on. But I have a question for you. A scenario. Say the Pastor and Marchand are coming down 2-on-1, go into the zone, offside's automatic. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dennis, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. So they come down 2-on-1. Okay, it's way offside. The guy from St. Louis breaks it up, passes to the guy.
Okay, I can't do it. The refs who are going to be in Game 7 reportedly are the same guys from last night.
Yeah, John Buchergras of ESPN tweeted a little while ago it's going to be Chris Rooney and Gord Dwyer.
So this is what Amante said to me. I can't remember if it was on the air or off the air last night, but the way this series has gone, it's been two crews. It's been Sutherland and Kazari, and then Dwyer and Rooney. So Dwyer and Rooney have gotten 2-4-6. Sutherland and Kazari got 1-3-5. And if they had stayed on schedule, it would have been back to Kelly Sutherland and Steve Kazari in Game 7. That was the crew, and Sutherland was the ref that missed the slew foot on Achari by Bozak in game five. Last night, a little less controversial. I still didn't like the officiating. Still too many calls for my liking. But either way, it was a cleaner game. They don't have any refereeing controversies coming out of last night, so they're back with Dan Rooney, who Bruins fans know he's a South Boston kid, and hardcore Bruins fans don't like him because they think that Rooney purposely rings up the Bruins to prove to everybody else that he has no hometown bias, that he overcompensates for the fact that he's from Southie and calls stuff against the Bruins. And I'm not a part of this world. I don't really notice it. I've tried to track it before and tried to pay attention. I don't notice it. I'm just telling you, the hardcore hockey Krishnas don't like Chris Rooney reffing Bruins games. They think he intentionally porks the Bruins to prove his neutrality. And this is the guy who last night, I'm stunned the Bruins were underwater in penalties. I thought for sure the league would make good to you after what happened in game five. It went just the opposite. In fact, they called Marchand for the exact same kind of slew foot penalty that they didn't call Bozak in game five. Until we got to garbage time at the end, it was 3-1 in penalties for St. Louis. It might have been 4-1, actually.
It was 4-1.
It was 4-1 in penalties for St. Louis till we got to the end. That stuns me. That's Rooney. So we'll see what we got in game seven. And I'm not telling you he made all those calls. I'm just telling you.
I want to put it on him, though.
I'm just telling you, Bruins fans, the hardcore Boston hockey Krishnas, will say we're not surprised. That's what we usually get when Rooney's doing these games.
I mean, the Bruins are 1-2 with Rooney reffing in this series. They're 2-1 with Sutherland.
Okay. But Sutherland screwed the pooch big time with that Bozak penalty or non-call in game five.
Did he ever.
And so the league caught holy hell. They don't want any of that. Last night was a little cleaner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It's going to have to be blatant, I think, for a penalty in game seven.
Would you please? And both teams are embellishing it. I hope you don't get sensitive with that, everybody, but both teams were doing it last night. Eddie Olczyk called you out during the broadcast, okay? Krug is diving around out there. McAvoy took a dive. Their Sundquist took a dive for St. Louis. I thought Petrangelo dive. If you want to be honest about the diving thing, I mostly think they all dive. Here's two things about me. When an NBA player goes down and says he's hurt, I always think he's fine. Always. It's just in my gut, I'm like, you're fine, even though a lot of times they're not. And when a hockey player goes down, it's sort of obvious, I think he's putting it on. Always. It's just my gut feeling. And both teams are doing it, and the refs took the cheese last night a couple times, and I hate that. I hate that we're at game six and game seven. This is still going on, and it's getting called. I would love to see a repeat of game seven of the 2011 Eastern Conference Finals. Bruins Lightning, 0-0 game, no penalties till late in the third. And there were no penalties in the game.
Oh, I hope that game doesn't play out that same way. I can't deal with that internally.
Oh, it's
that,
coming, Mark. What do you think? You're going to have like a 6-1 breather?
No, I'm praying for it, though. Oh, God, if they could just go up like 4-0 early, just make my life. Otherwise, it's just going to be hell.
Actually have fun watching the game?
Yeah.
I mean, that game was excruciating.
Oh.
That game, that Tampa Bay came back in 2011. That was brutal. That was brutal.
These games.
It's not fun. You've said it. They're not fun.
Oh. But they are something else.
Yeah, this one on Wednesday is going to be, like, potentially fatal.
Here's Pete in Plainville with a thought for us. Go ahead on the lineup. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Great show. Quick question for you. I think the first thing is if the Bruins score first, I know they scored first in game two, but you got to feel good if they can get that first goal at home. My question is I'm with you, Mike. I don't understand the fascination with Heinen. But if – and this goes if only if Wagner is healthy. I mean, he's a righty. He penalty kills. He's physical. Would you make that move? All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. So Chris Wagner apparently is circling in orbit.
Right, been skating.
And getting closer.
So, look, I don't know Wagner's reputation defensively. Him for Heinen is about the only thing I would consider.
Would you put him with Coyle and Johansson?
No. No, so you're right. He'd have to go in for Achari, right?
So then you're messing with that fourth line?
So you know what? No.
No.
No, I don't do it. No. I don't see, you know, no. I go with the same lineup I had in game six.
Heinen's just the kind of guy that I'm going to dump on all season, and then he's going to score the Stanley Cup game-winning goal. Like, that's just, if you want a little thing to feel good about, that's just the kind of guy that's going to have a big game seven. We're going to hear all the next day, where's the quiet one? Oh, I guess you don't mind the quiet one. Oh, did the quiet one make some noise? Oh, don't you feel like an idiot with Heinen? Like, isn't he the guy?
Yeah, Felke, he scored the game right. Winner in game seven.
You just feel like that's going to be the guy. Tim in the car. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, so Bennington, what's his deal with like bumping into players during these TV timeouts?
It's amazing.
It's consistent. And as you once said, he looks like a B.O.B. boob.
He does. And I want to write him off because of it. But every time he loses a big playoff game, he comes back and wins the next one. Or that's been his run so far this year.
Totally. And look, I sort of get the sense watching it last night that the Bruins are now doing it to piss him off.
Oh, my God. It's so silly.
Because you had the wingers out there, right? Earlier in the series, he bumped Rask. But now the forwards are out there when he goes by and, you know, hitting him in the pads. It's just the F with them. Like, I feel like it's going the other way now.
But what's the guy doing? Like, bumping the other goalie on changes? Last night, didn't he skate to the other side of the ice away from the benches? I thought I saw that in one of the replays. We get different angles because the Canadian broadcast gets stuff that the NBC and vice versa, and I sort of get confused about what I saw and where I saw it. But I thought he skated like to the other side of the ice to go engage Pasternak last night.
Yeah, he probably I might have missed it. I might have missed it because I you know, you see some stuff on that sometimes that I don't. I just felt like somebody gave him a little, you know, thing in the pads, and I thought, oh, they're effing with him now.
So it's like this guy letting in bouncers from the blue line, trying to pick fights with the other goalie on changes and other forwards during TV timeouts. Like, how could this guy possibly beat the best goalie on the planet right now in Tuukka Rask?
I don't think if it's goalie versus goalie and everything else is equal, I like the Bruins' chances. But again, Mike, maybe this is also a Berube thing. Because it feels like he gets these guys worked into a frenzy where they're foaming at the mouth, including the goalie. Because he hangs his head. It's like he's riding this emotional roller coaster, to use McAvoy's term, in these games. And I just think that's a bad play for a goalie.
Danny in Framingham. Yes, Danny.
Hey, I just wanted to comment about the goal that they got last night, the validity of it. I've been looking at the videos back and forth. You know, I don't know the exact rule, and I'm not going to lie, I don't have time looking it up.
Well, here's the rule, Danny. If the puck goes over the line, it's a goal.
So the one that he saved and he caught it behind his back, right? And he swung it around, and I think it was McAvoy.
So I'm not going to talk to you now because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
So he's saying that on the play that McAvoy hit the puck out of the air, if the puck was in the air and over the red line and McAvoy batted out of the net, it's a goal.
I thought he was talking about the Ryan O'Reilly goal.
Yeah. Well, he started with that. He said that, but if you then use the same logic and apply it to
if it goes over the red line in the air and they can see it on video, they'll call a goal.
Yeah, so I wondered about that too in real time on that play.
Did anyone go and look at it?
So I don't think there was an angle that showed it, but where McAvoy hit it, I don't think it went in.
Me neither.
Because it popped towards Tuukka, and then McAvoy batted it. So I don't think there's any way it went in.
I didn't mean to hang up on it. I thought a little undercurrent of people complaining about that Blues goal that they allowed, which was 100% the right call.
No, it was a goal.
100% by the rules.
The puck got in.
100% how it's supposed to be done, and what they do routinely is if they miss it on the ice, Toronto looks at it while play is still going on. And even if the coach doesn't challenge, Toronto will call down to the ice and stop play and say, let's look at this. We think it went over the line. And that's exactly what they always do and should do and got it right.
Yeah, no, there's no gray area there. In fact, Tuukka basically kicked it out of the net. But the fact that he even got close,
he almost made that save.
It was unbelievable. Really, again. And if the puck were flat instead of on its side, because it went over the line because it was on its side. If it were flat, I'm not sure it's totally over the goal line.
We continue with your thoughts and the latest on David Ortiz right after this.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
David's condition is still serious, but that he is stable enough to be transported back here to Boston for continued care. The club has arranged for a medical air ambulance to transport David to Boston from Santo Domingo. Our hope is that David will arrive here in Boston sometime later tonight. Out of respect for David's privacy, I don't have any additional details about his medical condition.
So Sam Kennedy this afternoon at Fenway Park discussing the Red Sox basically sending a plane down to the DR to go get David Ortiz after he got shot last night. Of all things. Holy crap.
Terrifying story.
Quite a surprise. Middle of a Stanley Cup final game. Have a text come across your phone. David Ortiz was shot tonight in the DR. Apparently he's fine. I put that in air quotes, meaning he's serious but stable condition enough to travel and fly back to the States and Boston. Who the hell knows what happened here? But whatever it is, it ain't good because it was no robbery. The first report was that it was a robbery, like some sort of random act at a barn that he got shot in the leg. No, not so much. Murray, you sniffed that out almost immediately.
Yeah, and I just, like, even just looking at that video that popped up almost immediately, that they had the surveillance video or whatever it was at the club he was at, it doesn't look like a robbery. I mean, he's shot point blank from behind. That's no robbery. It's an assassination attempt. And, you know, there was a couple of guys that called the midday show saying that he was sitting with a famous rapper from the DR, and maybe he was the initial target because this guy's, you know, talked a lot of beef about other guys, and he was, that's why people were trying to target him. But I don't know. You look at this thing. The guy that got off the motorcycle or whoever comes up behind Ortiz, he's aiming at David Ortiz.
So here's the Daily Mail in the UK. They reported this afternoon. Police in the DR believe that former Boston Red Sox star David Ortiz was shot by two cops hired by a Dominican Republic drug lord who believed the baseball player was having an affair with his wife, DailyMail.com has learned. Three law enforcement sources confirmed the motive on Monday. As Ortiz, 43, recovered in the hospital, the drug lord has not been named. On Monday, Ortiz's representative, Leo Lopez, denied that the shooting had anything to do with the woman, but said it was the act of hired killers. Quote, there is no doubt it was the act of hired killers. If we had known that there was a dangerous situation, he would not have been there at that moment, Leo Lopez told the media down in the DR. Ortiz is expected to make a full recovery, but suffered liver damage during the six-hour operation, his spokesman said. So there's that. So whether the thing is true with the woman or the drug lord, whatever it is, it ain't good because that was a hit.
I mean, no question again. And so when you see the video, and initially it's hard to make out unless all the, you know, the essential people in the video are circled or identified with arrows, what have you. Like, I mean, a guy walks up and shoots him in the back.
It was an assassination attempt. It was a hit.
No question. And again, we're talking, and like, it, but in real life, right? Like, you know, this isn't like the Godfather movie. Like, he's literally sitting there. Guy walks in and shoots him in the back. And then he sort of slumps over to his left and goes down. And, like, you see it, and it's like, what? I mean, terrifying. Terrifying. And I told you, I had read some stuff where, you know, I guess the crime in the Dominican Republic, particularly in parts of Santo Domingo, has gotten a major concern. Ortiz has expressed in the past concern for his safety there. And so this is what, you know, this is the world down there. It's terrifying.
So, Maz, you did a book with him years ago.
I did.
So you know him. This is one you can say you really do know him or did know him.
I did.
Why does he continue to go back and put himself in those situations?
Because it's his home. I mean, because it's home. That's why. And I think, you know, these guys take pride in where they're from. And obviously the Dominican is a huge baseball hotbed. And the baseball players down there, you know, are megastars. They're gigantic. They're huge. They're bigger than politicians or, you know, movie stars or anything. They're the biggest thing going. So the idea, and one of the stories that was out there, was that Ortiz Murray, again, was there with a TV personality and a guy who's a rapper, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so one of the stories that came out, and I heard this on the midday show, was that the rapper was actually the target, and they shot Ortiz. No way, not based on that video. No way. Like, you mean, so, and even the rapper's a celebrity, right? Mm-hmm. So this guy walked in there and can't tell the difference between the rapper and David Ortiz? Everybody in the Dominican knows David Ortiz. Everybody. They all know who he is. They all know what he looks like. They all know him. There's no gray area there. There was no mistaken identity, nothing. I mean, I have a hard time believing that is the point.
Yep.
So Pedro's the same way down there. He'd be huge. You know, building churches, the whole nine. Like those guys are gigantic. You can't. It's not the same as it is here, like with Mookie Betts. Not the same. Different level because it's so small and baseball's such a part of the culture. They are enormous down there. The biggest figures down there.
Okay, so there is the latest on David Ortiz. We'll see again whether the Daily Mail thing is right. I mean, does it really matter? Whatever he did, how could it possibly be worth a bullet in the back? It's not. So there's that. So again, whether that is the story or not, whatever the story is, it's probably not good. And it's really not good that he got freaking shot in the back of all things. So hopefully David Ortiz is okay. And again, our thoughts and prayers to the Ortiz family and Tiffany Ortiz and all of them. So we'll keep you updated if anything else comes across. He's on his way back to Boston right now, apparently. To your phones, again, as promised, Mike in the truck on Game 6 last night. Go ahead, Mike.
I had a couple things real quick. I was wondering if Murray has walked back his take that Game 5 was the series.
Yes, obviously. Yeah, because we have Game 7 now.
But do you think that the Bruins are going to win Game 7?
I said Bruins in 7 before this thing started. So, yeah, I mean, I'm dug in on that.
With it.
I don't feel great about it.
That and, you know, you guys are saying, is this entertaining and everything else? Like, yeah, it's heart-stopping. It's hard to watch, but it's entertaining. Think about the Patriots 28-3 comeback. Was that more gratifying than if they had won 45-3? Yes. It's entertaining. So I don't want it to be a walkthrough. I want it to be difficult. It'll mean more.
I'll take a walkthrough at this juncture.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I would take a walkthrough too.
Enough. I mean, come on.
No, and at this stage, they've proven their mettle. Like, you know, the Game 6 win there, that's no small feat to go down there, down 3-2 and win that thing.
Yeah, it might be more rewarding, but when I'm seeing a cardiologist in 6 years before I'm 50, and they're asking me, well, what the hell do you think caused this? Well, you know, there was Game 7 and 28-3 and all these other things. It's not healthy, and it's certainly not that enjoyable
right,
in the moment.
Jim, what do you blame for your situation?
The Bruins.
Craig Berube.
Yeah.
Dan in the car. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, hi. I should start off by saying thoughts and prayers with David Ortiz. You know, hopefully he can come in clutch one more time. He means a lot to the city. So just thoughts with him. And I just wanted to bounce off that last caller and say, I mean, guys, you got to live in the moment and enjoy it. I mean, who wouldn't want a blowout? But, I do love this series. I had faith in them when they went down 3-2. I honestly think that the Bruins are the better team in this series. When we play our worst, it goes to overtime and we lose. We lose in a close one goal game. When we play our best, we're winning 5-1, 4-2.
I just don't think
it's just going to be a close game in Game 7. But you just got to make the little plays like they have been.
Okay, I don't think it matters that you win 5-1 and they win 2-1.
Me neither.
I don't think that means one thing.
And the other thing is the reality that this game was not a 5-1 game.
Correct.
We all know that.
Correct.
I mean, it was 1-0 in the third period.
And then a bouncer went in from 60 feet.
Right. And then Coleman picked a corner, and then I went. Phew. And then even then, when the Blues scored, I went, here we go. Here we go. Now, like, all of a sudden, it's going to be fire drill. And if they get a second one, then the goalie gets pulled. Like, you know, that's how my mind works.
I mean, 5-on-5, do you really think the Bruins are a better team? Or have been better? I mean, we can play it on paper if you want. Like, I'd rather have their roster. They have more talented players. But we now have 6 games. However many minutes that is. 360 minutes plus the overtime. You've seen them 5-on-5. Do you really think the Bruins are demonstrably better than the Blues when they play 5-on-5?
No.
Most people think you're underwater 5-on-5. The stats say you're underwater 5-on-5. Pierre LeBrun here in The Athletic. He doesn't have a horse in this race. You know, he's not taken from any different side. He's just covering the series from a national perspective. He wrote today, the Bruins still look overmatched 5-on-5 by the Blues. He says the Bruins are overmatched 5-on-5 against the Blues. And I kind of tend to agree with them. I think when you're 5-on-5, you have a hard time getting to where you want to go to against that team. But, writes LeBrun, the Bruins continue to win the special teams battle and ride the Conn Smythe-worthy goaltending of Tuukka Rask. It's a recipe that can work again on Wednesday. So that's it. I mean, you've won on special teams and you've won on net. Won in net.
I mean, it when you lay it out the way he just did, isn't it a fascinating matchup?
That's it. That's it. And so the officiating, unfortunately, is how's it going to be called? And if it is a 5-on-5 game, can you win it? Because last night was not really a 5-on-5 game. You weren't on the power play very often, but even the PK turns it into a different kind of game.
I think it helps the Bruins.
I do too. I think going on the power play takes the Blues out of their rhythm. They're 1-for-18 on the power play, and it's a deserved 1-for-18. Their power play sucks.
And not only that, I think you take fewer hits.
The whole thing. Exactly. They don't forecheck on the power play, the whole thing. They play differently.
Absolutely. So again, that's 8 minutes of the game right there. Right. Plus, you know, you had what, 3-something on the, you know, 2-man advantage, you know, although they scored quickly. So, but the bottom line is this, you know, anything that takes away from the 5-on-5 play helps the Bruins. But I will say again, I thought last night was their best 5-on-5 game of the series.
Probably so.
They checked much better. And I would say again, particularly in their own zone. So if the Blues want to keep the puck in the Bruins zone, and I don't think that's going away, I think you're just gonna have to accept that as a reality of it. the Bruins just going to have to keep the puck out on the perimeter and let Rask make the saves or block shots and get the puck out of there.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mask.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
We need 60 minutes of our best. We've had pockets of that. I thought game five, we played pretty well. Obviously, we'd like to have the better start. We did the other night, didn't result in the lead, but it certainly puts you in a good place. So that's our goal tonight, on-time start.
Right of the net, fired, they score! Brad Marchand!
It's a lot easier playing with the lead, and they play a different game when they have the lead versus when we have the leads.
High slot, walking in Parayko, tees it up, Rask the save as he took that blast! Right in the midsection. Rask reached up with a left hand and stared it. High slot fired by Dunn. Rask the same. Rebound Petrangelo. I thought that was in. The puck rebounds over to the near side.
It was Charlie McAvoy who saved the game.
It's a team effort, you know. Like, you know, you may have to make a save and then you try to keep it tight.
Carlo Rister. Binnington, they score!
Here's Petrangelo to the goal. Save is made. O'Reilly shooting and oh no! Rask was down, but again it's kept out.
We heard a horn, Curbs. This is a goal.
You saw it go over the line?
I did. I saw this go in. This is a goal. Yep, 100%.
Pastrnak shoots, he scores! Charles going to try it. Long range, shoots, he scores! And the Boston Bruins have forced a game seven to decide the Stanley Cup.
We just want to try to focus and do what we've done all year, which is prepare and try to play the same game. We're not going to get caught up in the excitement about it. We're just going to try to prepare and focus the same way that we did tonight.
We have a hockey game to win. That's all really that matters.
The whole hockey world loves a game seven, so it should be a great night in Boston, and may the best team win.
All right, we continue with your Bruins thoughts and some David Ortiz stuff mixed in. More Bruins coverage coming tonight at 6. Myself and Ty Anderson on the off-air show presented by Ace Ticket. Felger Maz off-air. Myself and Ty right at 6 p.m. Ty Anderson obviously covers the Bruins here for 98.5thesportshub.com. So more Bees talk and whatever you want. Off-grid sort of stuff. Off-air show presented by Ace Ticket, 6 p.m. on Facebook Live and Twitch. I think we still do. But if not, for sure, Facebook Live. So there's that. To your phones, as promised. Bob on the South Shore. Bob, what do you got?
Okay, about matchups. I don't know if you noticed. I think the first two penalties against the Bruins last night, the fourth line was on the ice. I think the first was against Perrault, and then they were hemmed in. I think the second was against Chara, which leads to my next point. I'm kind of curious your opinion. As with the Cassidy having the final, you know, the final change, how do you think, you know, the fourth line's been doing in that regard in their own end? And then what do you think he's been doing? How well do you think he's been doing with the you know, having the final change with the home ice?
Okay, so to me, it's I'm trying to keep Bergeron away from Ryan O'Reilly. Sorry. I think Ryan O'Reilly's won that matchup.
I agree.
So, unfortunately, that means that he usually gets Krejci, and that really hurts Krejci, but to me, I'm I want Bergeron against the Shen line, even though they were getting beat by them. They've gotten beat by everyone. The Bergeron line was on the ice last night for the O'Reilly goal again.
Correct.
Your only minus player last night was Patrice Bergeron. So, like, the Bergeron line's been getting beat by the Shen line and the O'Reilly line.
So I didn't notice last night who because the Blues had last matchup, right? Last change, rather. The were they on the Krejci line?
O'Reilly was, I thought, against Bergeron more.
Okay.
But, again, I don't track it, like, shift to shift. I just think, in general, that's the way it's worked. And I think that Cassidy is just as comfortable putting his fourth line out against the Shen line as he is Bergeron. So how those exactly work out. And then there's the whole D-pairing thing, too. Like, the Bruins want to have Char and McAvoy out against Tarasenko in that line. And the Blues want to have Parayko and Bomeister out against Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand. So I think it may be even more the D-pairs than the forward lines. But the one guy that I am trying to be conscious of is Ryan O'Reilly. The guy's a beast. The guy's a beast in all three zones. He's a beast on the dot. I don't think that Bergeron has leaked a drop against Ryan O'Reilly when they've been out there. And I'm taking my chances with that Shen line because it feels like that Shen line has sort of receded. They were really having their way early in the series. You mentioned before, have we heard one word from Jaden Schwartz?
No. I mean, for all the goals, didn't he lead all goal scorers going into the finals?
He had a couple hat tricks, right?
Yeah, he hasn't scored at all. I mean, he's been invisible in this series.
So that's what I want. I'll take Bergeron against that line.
The only reason I asked it is because the Krejci line had a good game last night.
They
and
did.
Now you get to dictate that matchup. So, or at least a little bit more. So, you know, whatever it was last night, go with it again.
We've got Paul in Maine. What's your thought, Paul?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I thought Schwartz would be a force coming into the series. But what I wanted to say, and I'm sure he's in no condition for it, and I'm glad he's going to pull through, it looks like. But can you imagine how wild the Garden would get if Poppy waved the flag before Game 7?
Hmm, there's that. Beetle had an idea. Tom Brady wearing a David Ortiz 34 jersey.
That's
great,
what it is.
Great idea.
That's exactly what it should be.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, there's no way Ortiz is going to be there. Is that what that guy's suggesting?
I don't think so.
Pappy's waving?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think there's any shot at that. But the idea of Brady in an Ortiz jersey, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, there's only one other name that would bear, if you want, a Game 7 flag bearer.
Bobby Orr?
No, he did that Game 6.
Oh.
Tim Thomas.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about him.
Back to my Tim Thomas thing.
Oh, that would be good.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. I'd almost rather have Tim Thomas than Tom Brady. I don't know.
Well, given the story there, yeah. I mean, again,
this is Rask's Tim Thomas moment. He needs this game to be Tim Thomas.
I don't think Thomas even has a TV wherever he is. My guess is going to be Brady.
Need you in Boston. Stop. Can you wave a flag? Stop. That nut.
Get delivered by a mailman on horseback.
A couple of Ortiz thoughts. Jay and Shirley. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Look, first and foremost, you know, thank whoever you thank that Poppy's okay, that it seems like he's going to pull through this. But these theories we're hearing, obviously, it'll be a while before we know what actually happened. But this mistaken identity, like you hit on the wrong person, that's like if someone took a hit out on Maz and accidentally shot Murray. That's not a thing that's going to happen. There was no mistaken identity. This was obviously, again, we're not going to know the details for a while. But, you know, like I said, just most importantly, glad he's okay. Poppy, we're pulling for you. We love you in Boston, man. We're glad you're doing okay. Hopefully you recover quick. And let's go Bruins. Let's get this done.
Okay,
bring the cup home.
His spokesman even said it was clearly the act of hired killers.
Yeah.
So even his spokesman denied the woman thing. But he said it's clearly the act of hired killers.
Yeah, I'm still reluctant, too, to say that he's okay. He's stable. But, like, this is, you know.
He's had organs removed. It's not like, he's fine. He could show up Thursday and wave the flag. Like, he's got a tough road ahead of him. There's nothing good about this.
No, I mean.
Other than he survived.
Yeah, you're talking about major life trauma, emotionally, let alone physically. Like, he might never be the same guy exactly.
And at the risk of sounding insensitive, like it was clearly for him. There was a lot of surface area there. It's tough to miss David Ortiz.
Yeah, it's hard to mistake his identity in a place where he's freaking, you know, the Pope.
Oh, they knew, please. They knew. Again, he and Pedro down there are gigantic.
Alan in Florida, what are your thoughts?
Hey, I just wanted to say, first of all, I call up a lot of times and I'm really critical, as you might know. But I want to give you guys credit today because you put on that news conference right away in the great Nesson, the Red Sox station, you know, when they're airing it right now. So I'm just saying you guys deserve a lot of credit to put that on when you did. So I thank you for that. And, you know, I want to say that, you know, out of all the athletes in Boston, I really think that David Ortiz has the most impact of any. I mean, after 2013, I think he has more impact. I mean, we're not going to talk about Brady because he's unbelievable, but I'll just take David Ortiz as the most impactful athlete ever in the city of Boston, in my opinion, anyway.
So I don't know about that, but I feel he's more connected to Boston than Brady. I think he's more of Boston than Brady.
I think he's more beloved than Brady. You still have pockets of people who don't like Brady because of an association maybe with the president.
Or he's a pretty boy.
Yeah, things like that. David Ortiz, I think, is the most beloved figure in Boston sports, maybe history.
Even though I guess he doesn't live here anymore. I thought he was Weston, but
Miami.
Has he moved to Miami now?
Yeah, it sounds like he's moved his whole family down there. I didn't even know that either. But look, it's Brady Ortiz 1-2 in terms of this era. Those two guys. So, like, you know, it would be a nice thing if Brady did that thing on Wednesday night and wore Ortiz jersey. I like Beatles' idea.
Even though Brady's been here longer, when did Ortiz get here? 02?
Ortiz got 03. Here.
03.
03 is right. Correct.
2003.
Yep, 03 is right.
Brady got here in 99, for crying out loud.
Yeah, no.
2000. He was drafted in 2000. So Brady's been here longer. He does spend his off seasons here, at least some of them. But I still feel Ortiz is more Boston. I just do. And, you know, I didn't want to stop Alan from giving us credit because he never gives us credit for anything. So I'll just take it, even though we didn't deserve it. That was NBC Sports Boston that cut out for the Sam Kennedy Red Sox press conference. On the radio side, we stayed here bitching about hockey. But anyway, thank you for the compliment. We'll take it. We've got Ben in Attleboro on the hockey. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, guys, two things quick. One, if it's a close game like I think it's going to be, what's your level of concern about a bad call or no call deciding it? And two, Murray, with KD coming back, are you looking forward to the potential Toronto fan base misery porn that a comeback would lead to?
That would be great. There's no, for me, just as an aside real quick, there's nothing bad in terms of the comedy aspect of the NBA Finals. Either there's going to be a 3-1 comeback and Toronto people continue to be miserable and the Warriors win and we get to still mock Maz, or the Warriors go out and, hey, kudos to the Raptors, and Kawhi is still going to leave them high and dry, and anyway, you still get to laugh at them. So either way, there's going to be comedy with the NBA Finals, no matter how this thing plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If Durant comes back and Golden State wins, doesn't that validate me?
Oh, well, we're sort of jumping ahead, aren't we, sir?
I'm just saying. If it takes Durant coming back to alter the series, well, then
I'd say we still don't know.
Yeah, we still don't know.
Oh, please, you lose. You lose. I'm claiming victory.
Okay. Well,
even if no one else does.
Let's cross that bridge when we get to it, shall we?
Okay. Like a presidential nominee.
We'll see what Durant looks like, if he plays, how much he plays, et cetera, et cetera. I'm worried about the officiating affecting the outcome? Sure.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think it's been a stain, you know, it's been a stain on the NHL this playoffs. It was a stain on the NFL for their playoffs. It's like it's rampant. And so that's just the trend of the thing. I mean, I'm fine with no call. If you're going to err on either thing, err on no call as opposed to calling too much and now having to match them up and, you know, manufacturing a call so you're even on penalty, all that nonsense. Err on the side of no call, if you can. We've got William in Reading. Go ahead, William, on Game 7. What do you got, William?
Oh, Felger, good to be on with you guys. I heard you guys were talking about me. I don't know if you were or not, but I haven't been on with you guys in a long time. And this is William Bendixson and the covered Patriots. But I was wondering, Felger, you've covered a lot of teams. Where would you rank this Bruins team up there in terms of mental toughness?
William, thanks for phoning in. I appreciate it. Mental toughness.
I mean, look, to get to the finals in that league, you have to have it.
In 2011, they won 3 Game 7s.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
And also, again, at that time, 39 years without a cup. I'm sorry, there's a weight there. That's something you have to carry, whether it's a result of your doing or not. It's as I like to say, it's sewn into the uniform. So it sucks, but that's the reality of it. When the organization has a stain on it.
But 2011, they were never down 3-2 to the finals. They were up 3-2 to both Montreal and Tampa, then went on the road and lost Game 6 and came home and won Game 7.
That team had great character, though.
They weren't down 3-2 until the final. If this team does it, they will have come back from two separate 3-2 deficits in 7-game series.
Right, and first round and the last.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, it would.
And then in between, they were down 2-1 to Columbus. I don't know.
Hey, but the Blues have similarly been behind in some of their series. Like, I just think in hockey, you can't get there without being able to fight through some crap.
They got to win it before we rank them.
Exactly. Thank you. Let's not rank losers. That's for the 67 Red Sox. And, well, okay, we don't need to start doing that. We've got more on Ortiz with Maz and the Baseball Reporters. That's at 6. Myself and Ty Anderson, the off-air show presented by Ace Ticket at 6 on Facebook Live. That's coming up at 6. Coming up next is the final word.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, that's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, a couple of pieces of sound to play here in the final word today. Both callers. We'll start with Frank the Tank, always very passionate when he checks in talking Bruins.
Frank the Tank. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I thought last night, you know, the forwards and the D, they really came back in and protected the house. And I'm still nervous about their ability to clear the puck. I mean, it seems like they got trapped a few times in their own end. That made me nervous, but... The thing I noticed last night that was different since, you know, Game 3, they skated. they skated and they skated hard and they forechecked hard and they really got to pucks and they really battled for pucks. Even though it, you know, I agree with you, Tony, it was kind of a 50-50 thing as far as battling pucks. So the skating was excellent. And if I'm Cassidy, I don't change a GD thing. Go in there tomorrow on Wednesday with the same lineup and send them to their emotional destruction.
Okay, emotional destruction. I do wonder. Go
ahead. Yeah, there's one more to go, but I feel like a lot of that area felt that last night. You saw it. You said there was more people than ever compared to the prior weekend, right?
You have 40,000 really sad Blues fans. Very, very sad. You would have liked it, Murray.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, no, Murray loves other people's misery.
It's what keeps me coming back. Dennis in Bedford also weighed in.
It's Dennis in Medford. Go ahead, Dennis.
I have a question for you.
John, I see you. Say that Foster and Marchand are coming down 2-on-1. Go into the zone. Go offside, automatic.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dennis, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. So they come down 2-on-1. Okay, it's way offside. The guy from St. Louis breaks it up, passes to the guy.
Okay, I can't do it. The refs who are going to be in Game 7 reportedly are the same guys from last night.
Yeah, John Buchagross of ESPN tweeted a little while ago it's going to be Chris Rooney and Cord Dwyer.
I'm just telling you, Bruins fans, the hardcore Boston hockey Christianists, we'll say we're not surprised. That's what we usually get when Rooney's doing these games.
I mean, the Bruins are 1-2 with Rooney reffing in this series. They're 2-1 with Sutherland. It's going to have to be blatant, I think, for a penalty in Game 7.
Would you please? And both teams are embellishing it. I hope you don't get sensitive with that, everybody, but both teams were doing it last night. Eddie Olczyk called you out during the broadcast, okay? Krug is diving around out there. McAvoy took a dive. Sundquist took a dive. For St. Louis, I thought Petrangelo dived. If you want to be honest about the diving thing, I mostly think they all dive. Here's two things about me. When an NBA player goes down and says he's hurt, I always think he's fine. Always. It's just in my gut. I'm like, you're fine. Even though a lot of times they're not. And when a hockey player goes down, it's sort of obvious. I think he's putting it on. Always. It's just my gut feeling. And both teams are doing it. And the refs took the cheese last night a couple times. And I hate that. I hate that we're at Game 6 and Game 7. This is still going on. And it's getting called. What was that caller talking about, though, man? Any idea?
No. I mean, don't you? That's like a conversation I have with my son. Yeah, Dad. If two guys are skating down, and one guy crosses the blue line, and the other guy has the puck, so it's offside, but they don't call it. And then
All right,
the second guy passes to the first guy, but it gets picked off.
Baseball reporters coming up. I got to do the off-air show.
Okay, sorry. So, look, obviously we're going to get into the Red Sox and their plight as a baseball team and also the David Ortiz story. We'll get into both of those things because I'm not sure. I mean, I know people have strong opinions on Ortiz, but I don't know that there's a huge talking point to the story. It's a tragic story, but I want to share my experience with people as far as the brief time that I spent in the Dominican Republic and what Ortiz means to that community down there. And the baseball team. I get some numbers for you that indicate that this thing might not be getting better.
Okay, here comes Maz and the baseball reporters. No commercials, just an update. And you'll have Maz on the radio. I'm going to the off-air show presented by Ace Ticket on Facebook Live. Talk to you there.